This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
The games are now coming thick and fast. Well, thank goodness, after all the dribs and drabs, one game after another, the points trickling in, hiding behind the sofa for cover as Son and Kane destroy your rank. Even owning both will cause a green arrow to tank downwards to that horrible red. Always Captain Salah, they said. Well, it was very nearly disaster for most, as Fulham weren't a very welcoming host. Vardy had a party to save some scores, and Arsenal need a miracle. Santa Claus? Welcome to the 65th episode of Triple Captain.
I like it. A festive poem. Just about. I mean, we squeezed it in there, but I think you made it work. Very, very well done, mate.
Yeah, I made it a question. So it was kind of like the double meaning of you just suggested Santa Claus to rhyme with scores. And also, could Santa Claus help Arsenal? You know?
So I think it was like... Like, so like you just walked in. Like you kind of, I'm recording a podcast. Oh, hang
on. Triple layered meaning to that final line there. We're getting really, really complex with these poems.
I like it. It's good. It's a tradition. It's the most inconsistent tradition we have, but I like it.
Yeah,
yeah. I like it.
Thanks, very Rich. So how we doing, boys? What another just weird game week. I've just got a bit fed up with the football this week. I don't know about you guys. I think I watched too much of it.
Yeah, that's the issue, isn't it, with the current schedule. It's just, you feel like you can just sit through all four games on Saturday and all on Sunday, and sometimes you get treated to some absolute dull affairs. But yeah, we were chatting yesterday, weren't we, in our WhatsApp. You were saying it was a really poor weekend for like a quality of football. There's only a couple of teams that really like impressed me over the whole weekend, but Leeds and West Ham on Friday weren't great, and then was it Newcastle played on Saturday as well, and it was just painful to watch. Even like the teams who you expected to play well, like Chelsea, didn't play well at all. The Manchester Derby, absolute sickener in terms of entertaining. But yeah, Everton won, so I'm happy with that. My Sunday league team won as well, so that was good. Just a little red arrow in the old FPL, but a nice weekend. How did you feel after the United game, by the way?
You know, okay. It was good to avoid defeat after the Champions League horror at Leipzig. So, I mean, I think really we were lucky that City didn't turn up. I think if City turned up, they'd have probably beat us. And they had a few chances to beat us anyway. Mm. So I think we were lucky, really. I think United played well defensively, you know, kept them out. But that was also a lot to do with City just not playing like City. Yeah. It was odd. It almost felt a bit like Pep had gone, look, they beat us twice last year. We've beaten three times, actually, if you count the League Cup second leg. They've done us on the counter every time. Let's make sure that doesn't happen. And they did. They did make sure that didn't happen. The kind of one time we got in was the Rashford penalty, but obviously he was offside. So, yeah, it was just... It was poor quality all round, wasn't it? And I think it was a game week of really fine margins. If we're talking about FPL, you know, on another day, De Bruyne would have got an assist for Mahrez, which De Gea saved with his leg. On another day, United would have got their standard penalty and Fernandez would have scored it and probably got three bonus points. Yeah. Kane maybe wouldn't have scored that goal against Gaeta. You know, he made a big mistake to let that in, and it was a simple pass from Son. It wasn't like a, you know, a brilliant assist. And then obviously Mo Salah was literally about to be subbed off before that penalty.
God's sake.
So, you know, on another day, again, we might have had no points from Salah, but we might have had points from elsewhere, and Kane and Son might not have returned. I think it'll be interesting to talk about Kane and Son this week. I know we've spoken about them a lot, but they are the highest point scorers, and they're an oddity, really, aren't they? Because it's not like every game they're peppering the goal and could have scored, you know, three or four. What tends to happen is they score and then they sit back.
Yeah.
I mean, Kane was very close to a second goal, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, the goalkeeper for Palace, he was absolutely inspired. So many saves. Even was it the free kick which he tipped over from Dier as well towards the end, which looked like it was arrowing into the top corner.
What a save.
Absolutely smashing it, Guaita. You've got to put your hands together for him, haven't you? We've got Ben with us as well, who I think should be very happy considering his team's performance and his FPL team's performance. I reckon we should let Ben tell us about his game week first, because To be fair, Ben, you've been on a bit of an upward spiral of late, haven't you?
And Ben, remind everybody, you can do the honours of reminding everybody we are, because me and Rich have forgotten again.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You know, so have I. You know, the reason I've forgotten to remind you is because I'm so busy currently syncing my calendar with the FPL deadline calendar, which I'll talk about in a little bit. Because, God, it's going to go bonkers over Christmas. But, yes, I have actually had a good game week for the first time. I can't remember the last time I said that. And we had a review this week from, hang on, where is it? We had a review this week on Apple Podcasts from Carl Cross 543. He gave us 5 stars. He said, really enjoyed this podcast. I never change anything in my FPL team before I listen. It's like three of your mates having a chat about FPL, except they know a little bit more. I love Luke's knowledge and passion. Rich always offers some good opinions. And I like Ben because he's like the rest of us, having a stinker and it's really annoying him. But this week, having made some terrible decisions with my transfers, I've miraculously come out with 82 points this week, an average of 51. It started off with the mighty Aston Villa keeping a clean sheet against Wolves. I've got Martinez in goal, who got 11 points this week. He had a stunning game. And Konsa as well. Man City kept a clean sheet, so Ruben Dias for me got 6 points. James Justin with an 11 pointer. I know that a lot of people have got James Justin, 23% selected, so we'll be very happy, but I was delighted. Harry Kane and Son, I've kept them, both delivered. Calvert-Lewin, he managed to just about get that. I mean, I can't believe that, Rich, I'm very happy that Everton won for you. I can't believe that Chelsea team didn't manage to get one in.
We just defended stalwarts at the back.
Just defended unbelievably, yeah. But I have to say, the big move for me this week, captain's armband on Jamie Vardy, who came back with 26 Ooh, points with the armband tasty. On. That was 2 assists and a goal as well.
Very nice.
With 1 bonus point from Jamie Vardy. So, yeah, 82. And actually, it's ridiculous. I've gone up 1 million places.
That's insane.
1 million places
That's so
in one
good.
Week. But, I mean, I've made some terrible decisions. I bought in Pulisic because, Rich, in the last week's podcast, you were like, oh, well, Ziyech is out, so it could be a time to bring in Pulisic. And I thought, you know what, Rich, I'm going to follow that advice. And he wasn't even in the squad because Frank didn't tell anyone.
Yeah, I know. You can't blame me for that. Come on. How was I to know? How was I to know?
I can't. But also, I've got Jota, who is now expected back on the 3rd of February. So I've got a few kind of fires to put out, but overall, delighted to have jumped 1 million places. And you know what? If I can turn it around before Christmas, like honestly, I've been looking at these Christmas fixtures and it is jam-packed. There's a lot of games going on. I'm not going to be working, so I can just ignore the family and concentrate fully on FPL. In January, it could be a completely different story.
Oh, I made up for you.
So what's your overall rank, Ben?
I'm happier to tell you now. It's still not very good. 2,400,000.
Right.
So, you know, very far down the pecking order. But my God, it's been 3 million for weeks. So I'm really glad to be, you know, slightly closer to that top 10K.
Remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
Plenty of time to climb up that league table. I'm sure you'll get there eventually. And you'll probably finish, what was it you finished last season?
137,000 last season.
Yeah, so you've got it in you. It's just time. It's just time. Come May, we'll know how you've got on. I'm sure it'll be somewhere similar to where you finished last season.
Not sure I believe it, but...
What about you, Luke? How did you get on?
I did okay. I mean, James Justin really, really added gloss to... It was one of those... It's a weird game week because I got 59, and obviously that 60-point mark is all I want each week, as I keep saying. So I was only 1 point off what I really want to get each week, but it just felt like my team wasn't very good. Mm. I don't know why. You know, like there's other game weeks where more people have returned, but say like your captain hasn't or something, and you ended up on like 54 points. But it feels like a better game week because you've had more returns. Yeah. I don't know. It was an odd one for me watching the football this week. I just thought that the quality was really poor. Apart from, you know, I didn't actually watch the Leicester game because I just got so bored with all the other games. I was like, I'm not going to watch that. And then Leicester, of course, were great. And as were Southampton, have to give credit to them. And of course, Fulham were great as well. But it's just, I don't know, I just thought the overall quality was pretty boring this week. It's made me want to just go back to avoiding the scores and doing something else for the day and then just watching Match of the Day because, you know, I do feel like I'm I'm wasting a whole day if I sit and watch four football matches and they're not very good. And I think that has happened more and more when the fans haven't been there. And but they've made a bit of a difference, haven't they, coming back, the fans? But anyway, so 59, obviously took Martinez out last week because I didn't have a playing goalkeeper, and then he got 11, which was a bit of a sickener. But again, you if all the games were happening at the same time, or they were, you know, you'd get over that very quickly, and it's not that I need time to get over it. But you look at Twitter after one match, and everybody's going, Martinez 11-pointer, Martinez 11-pointer. Oh my God, I'm so glad I kept Martinez. Everyone that got rid of Martinez, you know, gifts of stupid people getting rid of Martinez. And it's like, oh, for God's sake, like, it's one match, and that wouldn't be happening if there was all the 3 o'clock games, you know. Maybe it would, because it was a Friday night game.
I know what you mean. It winds me up so much. And you know what really, really winds me up is when the official FPL Twitter account goes, bonus points as it stands, and the game's still not over, and I'm like, oh, yes, Kane's on for a big three, and then you're on edge for the last 20 minutes because you don't know where the bonus points are going to go, and I'm like, we don't need that in our life. That's just adding fuel to the fire.
No, that's the thing, and it just like when you're watching them, you're just like, oh, it's just like the Spurs game being before the Liverpool game. If Spurs were playing at the same time as Liverpool, at least everyone that's Captain Salah like me and hasn't got Kane or Son anymore can watch them at the same time. But then you're going, well, you're then watching Spurs, you're watching Kane and Son score. Yeah. So then your rank's really dropped, and then you've got to wait for Salah. Whereas really, if they're happening at the same time, it's like, oh, well, Salah scored, so it's fine. It's all good. Like, it kind of evens itself out.
Your wish is coming true this week, because this is the game week where every single game is on Amazon Prime.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all happening a lot more at the same time, aren't they, this week, which is just so much better. I never thought I'd say, really. I thought when it first happened and every football match was available to watch, I thought, brilliant, this is going to be great. But for FPL, it's just... if you're not having a great week. I mean, after that Saturday night, I was on 16 points from six players. Yeah. And I think a lot of people were in the same position. And it's just like, oh, God, this is rubbish. Anyway, McCarthy, who I did bring in, got a clean sheet. So 6 points. So he's got 8 over the 2 game weeks, and Martinez has got 11. So I've only lost out on 3 points there. So hopefully McCarthy can make that move worthwhile. James Justin, as we spoke about, of course, I've had him since day one and came up with 11 points, which was great. Chilwell and Robertson, kind of your standard 2-pointers. I'm now thinking of maybe finally getting rid of Andy Robertson. Don't know, but you did. I mean, you just knew in the first 10, 15 minutes of that Liverpool game, you knew Fulham were going to score.
Yeah.
They were all over them. Mental. It was like, the goal is coming. Yeah. I was like, this clean sheet is gone. There's no chance. And then obviously it happened, and then Liverpool kind of woke up a little bit, but didn't. And Robertson didn't really look that threatening. I think TAA looked more threatening than Robertson. So you'd expect him to start returning soon. But yeah, they're just not reliable enough for the clean sheets anymore, are they? Maybe not for that price.
Didn't they get another injury as well? I think Henderson and Fabinho finished as their centre-back pairing at the end of the game. So, you know, they've got more injuries to worry about now, Liverpool.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I know I've stuck by Robertson since the first day of the season and thought he will stay in my team the whole season. And I'm not getting rid of him yet, but because I'll probably need 2 transfers really to make some decent moves. But... I think really when you look at it, you go, well, Calvert-Lewin's only kind of 0.9 more. Could I downgrade Robertson to a 4.5, 5 million defender who's doing well this season, like someone like Vestergaard, for instance. Bednarek, And then I could move, you know, one of my strikers to Calvert-Lewin. Is Calvert-Lewin going to score more points than Robertson for the rest of the season? You'd probably say that he is. You've got to go with consistency and form, haven't you? And Calvert-Lewin returns every single week, and I've never had him in my team. So that kind of move suddenly makes sense. I kind of look at my team each week and think, well, I've still got those 2 premium defenders, which makes my team a little bit of a differential.
Yeah.
Because if they perform, then I'm going to be ahead of other people. But they're just not performing. KDB and Fernandez, of course, only 3 points each, but... that's fine. I'm happy that they're both in my team, because especially De Bruyne seems to be a real differential at the moment ahead of that West Brom game on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever it is. Salah captain, yeah, got lucky, and then he got that bonus point right at the end, which was lucky. Grealish with a two, Bamford with five. Shea Adams really helped my mood yesterday morning with his goal. That was nice to see. And Callum Wilson only got one,
yeah,
against West Brom. I was surprised at that, and he didn't really look very threatening. So, fingers crossed he comes back.
Well, you know who the threat is at Newcastle now, don't you?
Go on.
Joe Linton,
yeah. I know, laid it on a plate for Almiron.
He's an FPL must-have, that's what they say.
He is. So, yeah, that Salah bonus point kept me in the top 100K, which I'm really happy about. So I'm 98,000 overall. And without that Salah bonus point, I just dropped out. I think I was 103,000.
Oh, okay.
So a very small drop of, like, 13,000.
That's not too bad.
Which, after the Saturday, and it's weird, isn't it, how these random players just come up and save you, like James Justin getting points.
So it's like,
how has that happened? That's so weird. I'm still in the top 100K, so I'm acting as if I'm gloomy about FPL, but I'm not at all. I'm very, very happy with top 100K at this stage. What about you, Rich?
You're doing all right. Yeah, I had an average game week as well, 56. So just a few points behind you, just a few points above the average. Another slight red arrow. I think I've gone down about 25,000 places, something like that, to 711,000. It's just annoying to slip into that. Well, beyond 700,000, which is a bit frustrating. But yeah, so I brought in the Chelsea goalkeeper, Mendy, a couple of weeks ago, and he was on brilliant form. He had four clean sheets in five games when I brought him in. And in the last 2 weeks, he has conceded plenty of goals, gave away a penalty against Everton. So not the greatest. Although he got a bonus point, or did he get save points, I think, actually. Mendy, because he actually kept quite a few out. So he got me 3 points somehow, despite having a shocker. Again, the back line for me, I think I've got the same premium defenders as you, Chilwell and Robertson, two from both of them. Charlie Taylor of Burnley, brought him in this weekend, put Balbuena on the bench, because I knew they were coming up against Leeds. So I thought, you know what, Leeds look a bit tasty this season. I'll drop Balbuena down this week, who has been the guy who seems to be delivering quite regularly, strangely, Balbuena. West Ham have been all right, but Charlie Taylor, clean sheet at the Emirates for Burnley, which is just insane. But Arsenal just look absolutely woeful. I do not know what's going on at Arsenal. And Aubameyang with an own goal, his season goes from bad to worse. It's ridiculous.
We were all shouting him as a must have, weren't we, when he moved into as a midfielder. Can't believe the decline of Aubameyang.
Yeah, match day one, he was like the must have for everybody. And I think he scored on match day one, didn't he? So everyone was like, he's going to be in my side all season. And then about 3 weeks in, I was like, hang on, something's not quite right here. And I think most people got rid of him. Well, I did anyway. So anyway, yeah, nice big 6 points from Taylor. Fernandes, much like yourself, got me 3. Son got his assist, got me 5. Grealish got me 2. And the big hoo-ha about the midfielder who I wanted to bring in for 5.8 million or less, I was tossing and turning between Lookman, maybe Suchek, maybe Neto. Ended up going for Rafinha, and he got me a nice big 2. So, you know, after all that thought, 2 points. Whatever. I'm not too gutted about it. He'll be out my team soon. And then the front line is what really delivered for me this weekend. Calvert-Lewin winning the penalty, getting an assist. Che Adams as well, getting a goal in the Southampton game. And then I put the big C on Harry Kane, who just continues to deliver. I mean, I'm just looking at his record now. And is it every game week bar two so far this season he's delivered? So, yeah, I just don't see how you can't go without having Harry Kane in your team. He's an absolute must-have. So, yeah, a nice 18 from him because of the bonuses as well. So, yeah, finished on 56 points. And, yeah, a little red arrow. So I'm not too gutted because, like I say, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
You're bringing in Salah this week.
Well, this was something I wanted to discuss on the podcast.
Okay, so what's the dilemma with Salah? Let's talk.
So basically what I'm doing is I'm going to take out Son. I think his time is up. I know he's the highest scoring midfielder.
Wow. Okay.
I know he's the highest scoring midfielder, but we mentioned this before we started recording. I know he's owned like 60% of owners, which is absolutely crazy. But the next three, arguably four fixtures, could be tough ones for Spurs. Got Liverpool away, got Leicester at home, Wolves away, and then Fulham, who've just found some form. So it's going to be a tough few games for Southampton. But yeah, they just They aren't, I know they're top of the Premier League on goal difference just about, but they're not absolutely smashing teams. I mean, you look at Manchester City and Liverpool, who went on to win the league over the past few years. They would absolutely steamroll through teams and, you know, score four goals, five goals. Tottenham don't look like they're doing that. And just because Kane is doing it more regularly than Son, in an FPL sense anyway, I think I'm going to stick with Harry Kane over Son. So anyway, getting rid of Son opens up some money for me. So the question is, do I bring in Mo Salah, who for me at the start of the season, I think you two were the same, saying he's a must-have for the whole season, Mo Salah. And the only thing that's weighing in the back of my mind about whether to bring him in or not is just because of De Bruyne at Manchester City, because Manchester City, over the next few weeks, over the Christmas period,
great fixtures,
have got tasty fixtures. And De Bruyne is just the man who's going to do it for Man City. You know he is, because they've got no Aguero, Jesus. Did he play Jesus in the derby?
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't look like he's going to score loads and loads of goals. Sterling's been pretty much off the boil all season, arguably like Manchester City. But they're looking a bit better, City, and they've got good fixtures. So I'm thinking maybe as a weird alternative and differential, I think I'm going to go for KDB. I don't know what you'd do if you were in my situation.
And you definitely want to keep Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, you've got to keep Fernandes, don't you? He's the man who's, I think he's won, has he won three player of the months in 2020, something like that?
Yeah, and obviously he's, Son and Kane are the top scorers, but Fernandes has, of course, played a game less and was rotated for, only played 45 minutes against Spurs in that 6-1 defeat, and only played 45 minutes against West Ham the week before. So, you know, he could potentially catch Son and Kane in one game week if United do well in there with their game in hand, despite having played less. So, yeah, I think I agree. It would be a bit silly to remove Fernandes, particularly before playing Sheffield United away, when United's away form and Fernandes' away form is fantastic. Oh, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Yeah. I would always advocate going with Mo Salah. I mean, the problem is, what do you think to look at Liverpool's defence?
Yeah.
And do you think, you know what you said about Son scoring against Man City?
Yeah.
What do you think about his prospects of scoring against Liverpool?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be what Jose does, isn't it?
These are the types of games that Liverpool come out flying.
Yeah.
You know, like when they beat Leicester, did they beat Leicester 3-0 or 4-0? Yeah. Then they beat Wolves 4-0. Yeah, then they drew with Fulham, which was, yeah, odd. But Liverpool tend to come out flying in these big games, don't they? They don't lose many of them. They're at Anfield.
Fans in the ground
The fortress.
Yeah.
Fans in the ground. Mourinho's coming to town. Mm. I mean, it's all set up for Mo to deliver, isn't it?
It is.
But you get burned when you get rid of Son.
Yeah, that's true.
And you definitely want Kane over Son.
I definitely want Kane over Son just because he's been so regular this season. I know he costs about £1 million more, but, you know, he's the man, isn't he? And he is season after season for Tottenham. It's just, there's always that thing in the back of my mind that in this kind of game, I don't think Tottenham have got a great record against Liverpool, especially at Anfield. But this is going to be the setup for Mourinho, which we've seen all season. Tottenham are going to sit back, they're going to absorb the pressure, and then you just know it's going to be Son running in behind over Fabinho's head or something like that, and he's going to have the pace getting behind and slot it for a 1-0 win, and then Tottenham will sit back for the whole game. But because it's Liverpool and Tottenham are going to sit back, we know, and we've seen it over the years, that Salah's that kind of player who has the key to get through those little tight gaps and just find like an inch of space where he can get a shot away. And he's the man you want in this game to get you your points if you're a Liverpool fan. And Son's the guy you want in this game if you're a Tottenham fan and you want him to get your goals, because it's just set up so perfectly for both of them. So I really don't know what to do, but I think in the long term, Salah might be a better option. But because of that indecisiveness in this game week, that's why I'm thinking of going to KDB. Just because, I mean, who have they got this weekend? West Brom at home at the Etihad. It's got to be one of those games where City knock three or four past West Brom. Surely. They've been so open this season.
Is there a chance De Bruyne gets rotated? I know a few people have suggested that. I don't think there is there? I mean, he's too important to City, and they need the wins. They need the points. If he's fit and raring to go, De Bruyne has to start, I think. I mean, I'd be very surprised if he got rotated.
Fixture congestion, though, mate. Like, they've got a game on the 15th of December, a game on the 19th of December. Then look at this. The 26th of December, so Boxing Day, Man City have got a game. They're at home to Newcastle. And then 2 days later, on the 28th, they go to Merseyside to play Everton.
Mm. Or,
yeah, there's chance of rotation everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah.
I think apart from Spurs, I can't see Son or Kane getting rested.
No.
I think even Mourinho said in an interview, didn't he? Said some players we just need them, that we can't rest them. And I think he can smell the league title. This is the thing with Spurs, isn't it, right? I watched that Palace game and I was so happy that Palace equalised. I was so glad, because I think it serves you right, Mourinho. It serves you right for not going for that killer second goal.
Yeah.
Because as soon as Palace equalised, suddenly Spurs were on the front foot again. They were attacking. They very nearly grabbed that winner. Why not kill the game off with a second goal? This is what I went back and forth with every single week when Mourinho was at Man United.
Yeah.
And he's doing exactly the same thing to Spurs. And it's, you can't play football that way and win every game 1-0. He did it with Chelsea years ago because he had John Terry at centre-back.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do it with Eric Dier and Toby Alderweireld as your centre-backs, mate. Like, you just can't do it. So therefore, I think Palace equalised at the perfect time as a non-Kane and Son owner, because I think if Palace had equalised earlier, you think, well, Kane and Son are probably going to score again now. So that's the risk that you have with Spurs. But people have got to realise that Kane and Son aren't necessarily, yes, they're outperforming their XG stats and all that kind of stuff. They're only having a few shots. But what you've got to realise is Spurs will play against those teams. They will keep attacking. They had a few chances before Kane's goal. They will keep attacking until they score. And then when they do, and it's most likely going to be Kane or Son scoring the goal, then they'll sit back and defend. Mm. So if a game finishes 1-0 or 1-1 or whatever, and it's low scoring, the person that scored the goal will probably get the bonus points,
yeah,
which will probably be Kane or Son. So you're looking at, you know, 8-9 points for whoever scores that goal. But it's not like Spurs are going to draw 0-0. I think they attack and they do well until they score, and then they sit back.
Yeah.
So you might not be getting these 15 pointers or whatever, but you are still going to get the points from them.
Yeah, but then in this game as well, they could go 1-0 down to Liverpool, and then they'll have to come out, and then they'll have to play against Liverpool,
yeah,
who then will do exactly that. They'll sit back and then attack Tottenham on the counter-attack, and then they've got Mane on one side, Salah on the other. So it could end up being like a... I mean, we've said this a lot on this podcast, where we'll say it's going to be goals and then it'll be a 0-0 or a 1-1 or something like that. So it could well happen. That's why I'm thinking of making the move to KDB, because I think it's much more likely that City are going to roll over West Brom than it's going to be like a 5-5 in the Tottenham-Liverpool match.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And I do think we should say as well, like, there's all this stuff about Kane and Son destroy your rank, even if you own both of them, because if you captain one and then the other scores, then you still drop in rank and all this stuff. Don't think about that. Just think about who is going to score the most points each game week. It doesn't matter. Don't check your live rank until the end of the game week. Right, because obviously, and I'm a victim of this, I think, oh God, how much has that hurt my rank? And I think, obviously, if Spurs are playing and they're the only game at that time, if Kane or Son score, your rank's going to drop.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, if you haven't got them, because they're so highly owned. So just pick based on who's going to score the most points. But anyway, we need to sort out this dilemma, don't we?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
So I haven't got Kane or Son, so I haven't got this dilemma because I've got De Bruyne, I've got Salah, and I've got Bruno, and I'm sticking with them as my three premiums for now, particularly as Spurs go through this tricky fixture patch. If Kane and Son bang, I've made that decision. De Bruyne's fixtures look great, but City don't.
But they look better, that's the thing.
Salah plays Spurs, Palace, West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton, Burnley. I mean, that's a good fixture run for Salah as well, isn't it?
That's the problem. But Liverpool have been so inconsistent this season. I mean, you look at the teams who they've dropped points against. You know, they're all kind of like mid-table-y sort of teams who last season they would have absolutely rolled over. I mean, they dropped points against Ulls, they dropped points against Fulham. So it's so hard to say, really.
It's picking these three premiums, isn't it?
Yeah.
And at the moment, you've got Kane, Son and Bruno.
Yeah.
And I've got De Bruyne, Bruno, Salah.
Mm.
And Ben's got Vardy, Kane and...
Son.
Right, so...
Although I'm looking at a combination as we've been talking to bring in De Bruyne to make it a fourth. Because, like, honestly, those Man City fixtures, you're right, Rich, it could just be back to old City steamroll time, couldn't it?
Because who did they beat? They had two big wins, didn't they, before the Manchester derby? Who did they beat again? Was it Fulham?
Well, they only won 2-0 against Fulham, but I think... was it against Fulham?
Well, they 5-0 against Burnley.
Yeah, they always beat Burnley 5-0, yeah. And then obviously only beat Fulham 2-0. And I think, actually, after watching that Liverpool game, that was probably a very good result against Fulham. I think Fulham are a lot better. They have been a lot better the last few weeks than than we've given them credit for. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, West Brom. I mean, yeah, it's a very good fixture for De Bruyne. Let's do our usual thing, right? You're going to make this move. You want to make this move for about the next five game weeks, don't you? Basically. So over the Christmas period, De Bruyne has got West Brom, Southampton, Newcastle, Everton, and Chelsea. Mm. Is he going to score more than Mo Salah, who has got Tottenham, Palace, West Brom, Newcastle, Southampton?
Ugh.
Is he going to score more than Son? So we've got De Bruyne, Salah, Son. Who scores more? And what can you... I haven't got Son up on my screen. Can you run by the Tottenham fixtures, the next five?
So the next Tottenham fixtures, they've got Liverpool this weekend, or midweek, I should say. Then they've got Leicester, Wolves, and then they've got consecutive Fulham and Leeds at home, where you'd expect Tottenham to roll over those two.
See, I think De Bruyne and Salah with those fixtures will outscore Son.
Yeah, so do I. It's also the fact that I've got Kane in my side as well. So I'd like to think that Kane will get involved in some of those, considering his history this season. It's so difficult because Liverpool and Manchester City, over the last few years, we've seen when they get ahead of steam and they start to win games, they just keep on winning games. They just get momentum. But you could argue this season that neither have really built up much momentum. All right, Liverpool are second in the league, but Manchester City are what, eighth, something like that, ninth? Like they're not flying. So the momentum thing is the only thing which kind of leads towards Salah over the Christmas period, arguably for me. But because Jota's now out as well, my other issue was that he could get dropped for Jota, but he's probably going to start all those games now, seeing as he's going to be out until February, I think. I don't know. I think I might go De Bruyne, you know, just because of the fixtures. But I think I'm probably going to get a similar return from both players.
That's the thing, yeah. I would always veer towards Mo Salah.
Oh, for God's sake. I think we could talk about this for 2 hours, mate, and we will never get an answer, you know,
mate,
honestly.
I've done it. I've just pulled the trigger on my transfers and I've gone KDB.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah. I just think that, and I'm going to put the captain's armband on him.
Who have you taken out, Son?
No, I've taken a hit, but let's not go into that.
Why do you make these moves without consulting us first?
Because I've got Jota and Pulisic in there who are both injured.
Okay, right, so, yeah. And the deadline is tomorrow as well.
I brought in De Bruyne and Curtis Jones for Liverpool. Curtis Jones, I think we're going to see him across the Christmas period quite a lot, especially with Jota out now. With those kind of tight fixtures, I think... And he's got a goal in
him,
Curtis.
Yeah, and they're dropping Fabinho and Henderson into defence as well, so he's probably going to play central midfield role.
Yeah, I just think... You've gone from one rotation risk to the other, unfortunately. He's not going to play every game. Make sure you've got a strong bench, that's all I'll say. Captain-wise, I'm not sure on De Bruyne or Fernandes here, because United have got this, you know, on paper it's a plum fixture against bottom of the league Sheffield United, who looked terrible against Southampton, didn't they? And obviously Bruno's away form and United's away form has been sensational this season.
Yeah.
In terms of the results, not necessarily how they've played. Bruno always returns. He's got a record of, you know, about 8 points a game over a whole year of action. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Is he a better captain option than De Bruyne at home to West Brom?
It's so hard, isn't it? But I mean, given over the year 2020, you just have to look at Fernandez's form. And like I said, he's won a handful of Player of the Month trophies, and he is still the man who is single-handedly carrying Manchester United. I know they're not doing too well. They're just sat in midfield. But when they click Manchester United, they do look decent at times, even if that is only for a 20-minute spell in a game. But it's Fernandes who's at the heart of all that, and Sheffield United have just been... I don't know what's happened to them. I can't believe they've only got 1 point and we're in mid-December. Like, it's absolutely crazy, considering how solid they were at the back last season. But there's just nothing that gives me confidence that Sheffield United are going to turn it around. I think they played Phil Jagielka, who's got to be, like, 37 or 38 at the weekend, and that is... not who you want at the heart of your defence, I've got to be honest with you. So, you know, Manchester United have got to be licking the lips going to Sheffield United. I mean, what kind of Sheffield United are going to turn up? The Sheffield United that were solid at home last season, or the Sheffield United who've been not solid at home this season? I think it's probably going to be the latter, to be honest. So Fernandes is probably the favourite at the moment for me to be captain. It's a toss-up between him and Kane, because Kane, I always feel as if he's a safe choice, but this could be a game week where Fernandes, especially after having a bit of a non-event in the derby at the weekend, this could be the kind of game where he delivers a large haul, fingers crossed, touch wood.
Yeah, I think, my gut says KDB, and I've gone with my... I haven't really thought too in-depth this season about captaincy choice, aside from maybe looking at a couple of head-to-head records when I captained KDB against Burnley. Mm. I've pretty much gone best fixture, consistent performer, premium, get it on that person. Yeah. And De Bruyne, West Brom at home just does stand out more for me than Sheffield United away. I think because it could be one of those games for City, couldn't it? You know, when they just... Yeah. Really go into cruise mode. You know, they score in the first 15 minutes and suddenly you think, uh-oh, this is going to be five or six. Yeah. And then they tend to score four or five. It could really be one of those games if they score early.
Yeah, and you know that West Brom are going to go for a draw. They're not going to go to the Etihad and go, we can get a winner here. They're not going to do that. They're just going to sit back, which just encourages KDB to, you know, get forward and move into those zones, get the ball into the box, that sort of thing. It could be an ideal game for him. I mean, I'm just looking at the results from last season, Sheffield United, Manchester United.
Oh, brilliant. Yes.
It was 3-3 last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was 3-3. And
yeah, we were 3-0 down, I think. Oh, no, we 2-0 down, then we went 3-2
up. Yeah, you scored three goals in 7 minutes to go 3-2 up, and then McBurnie scored an equaliser in the last minute. I think that was that before you'd signed Fernandes? I think it might have been, actually. But then you played them at Old Trafford and won 3-0. So, you know, it could have gone either way, I suppose, in that first game. But I don't know. I just feel like this is the sort of game for Fernandes, especially going off the record of that fixture last season where it could just be open as hell. I don't know. It, armband's always a tough one. I always make the decision last minute. But at the moment, I'm slightly leaning towards Fernandes.
Any other captaincy choices stand out this week?
There's nobody who specifically stands out as a brilliant choice. I mean, maybe somebody at Chelsea. Maybe they're playing Wolves, who've not looked too good at the back, but I don't know who you'd pick.
Well, Vardy against Everton.
Vardy, yeah, against Everton. Are we away? Yeah, we're away.
After they did such a good defensive performance from Everton.
Yeah,
like they're going to have their heads held high.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it Southampton versus Arsenal? Yeah, Arsenal are one of those teams now where you go.
Possibly.
That's a great shout. You know, if you've got Danny Ings, I know he didn't. I don't think he returned. Actually, I don't think he got an assist or a goal. Did he at the weekend?
He did. He got an assist.
He got an assist. Did he? Yeah. So he looked really good, but he didn't get on the score sheet. You feel like it's only a matter of time until Danny Ings starts to score goals again. So who knows? This could be the weekend. Yeah, this could be the weekend where it starts once more. If you really want to take. And a differential captaincy choice.
Yeah, I'd like to get Ings back in, really. I mean, although Shea Adams was great too, Ings is just... There's a reason that he's, you know, 3 or 4 million more expensive than Shea Adams, and it showed in that game. He was unlucky to only get an assist. But then his chances, I think a couple of them were offside, were assisted by Shea Adams. I mean, they're a great partnership, and it was great owning Shea
Adams. It's like the budget Kane and Son.
I mean, I think you could triple up on Southampton at the moment.
Probably could.
You? I mean, they've got Ward-Prowse who's having an excellent season. They've got Stuart Armstrong, who's a bit more of a budget option, but played very well yesterday. Yeah. Vestergaard at the back is starting to look like Van Dijk. I mean, he was superb yesterday.
He was towering.
They got McCarthy in goal, who's a cheap option. You know, I probably wouldn't double up on Southampton defence, but you know, if you can rotate them and they've got a good fixture, and you think, well, here's a chance for clean sheet, why not double up? There's some decent fixtures this week, isn't there? I mean, Leeds play Newcastle, which could be decent.
Yeah.
Southampton, got a decent fixture against Arsenal. Villa play Burnley. Obviously, United play Sheffield United. City play West Brom. West Ham have got Crystal Palace. Like, there's some decent fixtures on paper here.
What do you reckon to Villa's chances against Burnley, Ben? Because Grealish is one who I'm considering moving out. And because Burnley have looked a lot more solid over the last few weeks, I reckon this is a game where Villa could struggle.
Right, stick with Villa.
Okay.
The result, honestly...
Why are you laughing? Because you said it with such authority.
It's just the way you say it. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not going against you.
We've had a few unlucky weeks. We came out the gates really well. Started off our Premier League season, win, unbeaten team. The only player to score past us was Mo Salah, etc. We've had a couple of rough weeks, but at the same time, when it's been unlucky. you know, Ollie Watkins, for example, should have had that penalty when actually it was given as an offside, but actually it should have been a penalty. Mm. There's been decisions like that that have gone against Villa. You know, don't forget, it was only 3 games ago, Brighton, that Ross Barkley was brought off after 5 minutes. It's been like that. You know, that West Ham game shouldn't have been 2-1 West Ham. It should have been 3-2 Villa.
Mm.
You know, Trez didn't start the weekend. He should have had a few. He should have finished his chances. There's a few things like that. Look, I think with the fixtures we've got, Burnley, Westbrook, we're going to smash the Baggies. Like, absolutely no question about it.
That's the fixture, which is why Grealish is staying in my team, because you know Grealish is going to turn it on for the West Brom game.
Yes, he loves it. He loves... He will literally... I mean, I suppose it's the kind of... You know, we had Wolves, but there we hate the Baggies more than we hate Wolves. And Grealish, you know, we hate Birmingham City the most.
The Baggies are second in that table, aren't they? Yeah, it's like when Gerrard always used to turn it on against Everton in the Merseyside derby. It means something to the local lads to get one over in the derby. That's why I think Grealish is in it.
Yeah, they've got lovely fixtures, haven't they? I'm not getting rid of Grealish for the next three: Burnley, West Brom, and Palace. And then they've got Chelsea, United, Spurs. But having said that, they played really well against the big teams. But they need Barkley back. If they get Barkley back, I'll be much more confident to keep Grealish. But I think is he ever going to take penalties, Ben? Or,
oh, so annoying.
Why isn't he taking?
You know what? Such a weird thing with El Ghazi taking that penalty. So obviously we talked about Watkins last week, didn't we? Because they showed his penalty heat map and it wasn't good before he stepped up to take that one against West Ham. But I don't know, because it was El Ghazi has taken a few pens for us before, but you wouldn't be the go-to guy.
Yeah.
Tyrone Mings put something on Twitter yesterday about it, basically saying, like, you know, a lot of you have been slagging off El Ghazi. I hope that now that he's come on and done that for us, I hope that you know, give him praise with as loud a voice as you did the criticism, or something like that. I don't know, because surely if it's 0-0 and it's a penalty right at the end of the game like that, you don't give it to someone to boost their confidence, do you?
I know, it was a bit of a roll of the dice, but, you know, fair play, it paid off.
It did. I mean, I would definitely have thought that I don't really want to see Watkins taking our pens anymore, but I'd want to see Grealish taking him. I think
I was going to say, has he got a good record, Grealish? Is he decent at penalties?
You know,
maybe he's one of those players, because it's quite strange, you do get these technically gifted players who just never take penalties. Grealish is one of those.
When's Barkley back, do we know?
17th, apparently, according to the FPL app. So that's 3 days away. So missing out. Well, he's got a yellow triangle for this game week. I imagine he will miss Burnley. You can just see it written in the stars that he comes back for West Brom and he slams in a hat trick.
I'd be tempted to... I think a lot of people will jump off Grealish game week 16 when they've got that run of Chelsea, United, Spurs. Ooh, and I'd be really tempted to just stick with him.
I would as well, just because Villa are that team this season who might well lose to Burnley and West Brom, but then they'll win the next two. It's just they're that side this season, which seems quite odd to say. But yeah, it's just because the thing about Grealish, why I'm considering moving him on, is obviously a lot of his points are tied up in that game week 4 fixture against Liverpool, where they... one of the maddest results of the past few years when they beat him 7-2. He's got 3 goals against Fulham on the third game week, but then he's only got a goal against Southampton and one against West Ham. I don't think he's been as prolific as people think he has.
Right, boys, so I know this is boring, but just a little tip before we get into the questions. With fixture congestion, loads and loads and loads of deadlines between now and the new year, I just typed in FPL game week deadlines into Google. The top article that came up, new FPL deadlines, don't get caught out. There's a nice little link in there to syncing your calendar, so adding in calendar notes. So I've now got in my calendar an alert, and I thought it'd be every game. You know, you're about to press the button to go add to calendar, you're like, is this going to be every single Premier League game ever?
Oh, no.
Now, and it's not. It literally is the game week deadlines, because I chose FPL. Okay. So just to give you the heads up, the game week 13 deadline tomorrow, Tuesday, 4:30. Then Saturday, 11 a.m. And then the following Saturday, so that's Christmas, and the following Saturday. But then after that, there's games. So game week 15, Saturday the 26th, Boxing Day. Game week 16 is on Monday the 28th. Then the game week 17 deadline is Saturday the 2nd again. Like, God, that's the period. So it literally is bang.
Three deadlines
bang,
in a week.
Bang.
Basically. Oh my God, it's going to ruin Christmas.
So I'd really recommend Really recommend getting this calendar. It alerts me a day before and then an hour before.
So what do you do to get that again?
Just Google FPL game week deadlines, and it's in that article from PremierLeague.com.
And remember, you've got till game week 16 to play your first wild card. Game week 16 is the final game week that you can play it. So obviously all three of us have already played ours, but I know there'll be lots of people listening that haven't played theirs yet. So just make sure you do it by game week 16. Otherwise you will lose it. And then obviously we all get a second wild card, and there's blank and double game week fixtures all kind of starting to be announced and things like that. So just keep an eye on Ben Krellin on Twitter, who is the man for the doubles and blanks. He's the only person you need to follow. All the information for blank and double game week. Double game week.
I thought that was my chair cracking.
Are on Ben Krellin's Twitter. So
Luke, do we know when they're going to start?
I think there's a double game week 18. So there's... here's the schedule for the rest of the season. There are three blanks from game weeks 1 and 11 that still need to be rescheduled. 4-6 game week 18 blanks will move to double game week 19. So there's a double game week in game week 19. The FA Cup quarterfinals will cause blanks in game week 29, but we can't be sure which game week they'll move to. They'll probably be spread out. So the ones that have been confirmed at the moment is a double game week 19, which is West Ham and West Brom have a double game week in 19 and a blank in game week 18.
Loading up on West Ham.
So West Ham have got a double game week 19 and their fixtures are Burnley and West Brom.
Okay. You know what you need to do for those games, don't you? Bring in Fabian Balbuena. He's the man.
Nice fixtures. I mean, if Antonio's fit, yeah, you know, then there's an option of a triple captain there. But then obviously his injuries are a bit of a risk. And West Brom's double game week 19 fixtures are Wolves and West Ham. So, I mean, have a think about that. Probably won't bother with West Brom. Nah. But West Ham, nice couple of fixtures there for double game week 19. But they will both blank in 18. So that's what we know so far. Follow Ben Krellin for more. Should we do a couple of Twitter questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
So Andrew Taylor, who always interacts with us. I don't think he's a referee, no. Based on the fixture, is it worth swapping Salah for Sterling this week?
Oh, let's not get into this again. God. I mean, all right, it's Sterling instead of KDB. But swapping Salah out for Sterling in?
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Just going off Sterling's form this season more than anything, I think. But then again, you know, it's West Brom. So, no, I'd stick with Salah.
Think about money in the bank and price rise and price drops and things like that as well. Like, if you've got Salah in, I don't, like, flip-flop on premiums.
Mm. Yeah, stick with Salah, mate. Really? Stick with Salah.
And then Chris Dickinson replied, is Sterling even guaranteed to start? Well, as we know, no, he's not guaranteed to start. Sean Henderson, I have two free transfers with no fires to put out. Do I swap Chilwell to James to save some cash? James has looked in good form recently.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point.
James does look very good.
Don't make sideways moves. If you've got Chilwell.
But if he's got transfers in the bank and he's making the move over to Reece James, who does look very good coming forward, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be the regular or consistently regular choice in at right back this season. He does look good, James, and he likes to shoot more than Chilwell as well.
So you'd rather have James than Chilwell?
You know what? I was considering the transfer this week.
Wow.
Yeah, because James, no, against Everton, he looked very, very good. And you know what? He is on some free kicks as well, James. So you know what, mate? If you've got nothing else to do, I'd do it.
No, Sean, don't do that. at Laz FPL, please, how can I overturn a 6-point lead over a mini league rival? So I think he's talking about me there. Well, listen to the pod, mate, and do what I do or go against what I do, and see how it goes. And FPL tips, Harry, friend of the podcast, what transfers does Luke plan on making to try and go top of his mini league, and how does it feel living in second in your mini league?
That's why I was laughing. I saw that one come in. I was like, I love them.
Harry's ahead of me by 1 point in our mini league. 1 point. I'm coming for him. And Harry, I'm doing nothing this week, so feel free to take of that what you will.
Is he coming on the podcast soon at FBL Tips?
He was supposed to, and then he had to cancel. So we are going to get him on at some point over Christmas.
Is that because he was scared that you could overtake him this game week, maybe?
Quite possibly. I am living in his head rent free.
You have to answer when he comes on the podcast. If ever.
Let's just have a look. Let's just have a look at Harry's team, shall we?
Oh, wait, Ben, before we get into that, Ben, didn't we get some reviews this week?
5-star review. Thank you to Smelly Cat. who said, this is now one of my favourite FPL podcasts. Like three mates talking about FPL, but also very informative and detailed. One of the easiest pods to listen to. Well edited.
Nice. Thumbs up for the editor there, the producer.
But no, well edited and just the right length. Keep it
just
up,
just the right length. So, get that all the time.
Thank you so much. Please do leave us a... You're a child. Please do leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's where you listen to us. It just helps... People generally take us more seriously if they see that we've got loads of reviews, and it helps.
And we will read it out on the podcast if it's a 5-star review. On
Apple.
Will. Remember,
we will.
So Harry's got that power five midfield. He's got KDB, Son, Fernandez, Salah, and Grealish. That is a power five. And he's got Calvert-Lewin and Bamford up front.
That is good.
It's his defence. It's his defence that looks dodgy. So there you have it, really. Any moves this week, boys? I am going to do nothing. I just did 2 free transfers, and there's nobody at the moment that I want to take out and bring in.
I am probably going to bring in De Bruyne for Heung-min Son, and the captain's armband at the moment is on Fernandes, but it could well move to KDB.
And my captain's armband is on KDB. I've just bought him in, and we don't have to talk about how I worked my race around to get in there. -8. But it's...
You had a great game week. Why?
Look, I know. You've got to speculate to accumulate. I've got loads of players there who aren't going to be... I've got injuries all over the shop. I needed to do a little mini hit to be able to make sure that I can field 11 players every week over this compact
game. I'm sorry about your red arrow this week, mate.
No,
I'm
it'll
sorry
be fine.
About your red arrow.
It'll be really good.
Good.
Ben's...
Thanks, everybody.
Ben's meltdown is incoming on the next episode, so make sure you listen to that.
Yeah, incoming meltdown. Yeah.
Right, okay, I guess all we can say is best of luck, Ben. Best of luck, everybody else. And what are we going into? Game week 13, is it?
Yeah. Game week 13.
Here we go. Best of luck, and we'll see you next weekend.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Men Lose Weight.
This is Men Lose Weight, a podcast about 4 blokes who partied hard through their 20s together, and now they think, maybe we should try and lose a bit of weight in their 30s together.
Be honest now, lads. Have you ever been in the middle of a personal trainer session and feigned an injury?
Guys, so I moved from Birmingham to Nottingham 2 years ago, right? Turns out I've been paying for a gym for 2 years that I live over 100 miles away from.
I guarantee at one point or another, he said, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels.
He obviously didn't try that pizza. Did you try that pizza that came out this year? The one good thing about 2020 where it's like KFC and pizza combined.
I have lost £3 this week.
Just so you know the numbers, I've also lost £3 this week.
Whoa!
I'm down to 17 stone 4.
I have also lost £3 this week.
What? You are joking me.
I am £1 down this week.
It's all
well
good,
done, mate.
We've all lost progress. which is definitely better than last week, boys. Well done.
A lot better than last week.
£10 in a week, boys.
What? That's like a bait. That's more than my baby weighed when he was born. So we've lost that collectively in a week. So, I mean, if you want to look at that, that's pretty decent, isn't it?
Men Lose Weight from Sound Rebel. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.